Welcome back to Sundial on WLRN. Well, the distance between Havana and Key West is roughly 170 kilometers, or 105 miles. That's the distance that Victoria Burgess paddleboarded recently. She sent that into the Guinness Book of World Records, and she's still waiting to hear back as to whether or not she set a record, because she did that trip in roughly 28 hours, less than 28 hours. Burgess is a fire inspector for the Pompano Beach Fire Department, and the city honored her accomplishment by creating a Victoria Burgess Day. And she spoke with us about why she wanted to do this and details about that journey.
My inspiration to embark on a journey like this, I think more and more so these days, I'm just really trying to push myself physically and mentally while I'm healthy and still can. So that was kind of like the base inspiration of why I chose to do something like this.
What was it like planning this out? I mean, how many months in advance were you planning it? What kind of things were you thinking about?
Logistically, it was a little bit difficult. As far as training goes, I have a decent base training because I race train during the year. So I started 6 months out. I started actually training for this specifically in January. And of course, that was paddle training and land training. And then the logistical aspect was finding the boat captain and making sure we had everything set to be able to launch from Cuba and all that stuff. It took about 6 months.
Did you have to deal with the Cuban government at any point?
I didn't have to deal with the Cuban government at all. The only marina that we could launch from was the Hemingway Yacht Club, and the captain knows the commodore of that yacht club from doing previous crossings, so he dealt with pulling the permit and our visas and all that stuff. And they were very accommodating. I met them through email beforehand because they wanted to know, you know, what was the reasons I was doing this and things like that and get to know me. And they were awesome. We had a nice meeting when I got there, and they were super supportive, and it was really cool.
There's a window that you have to do something like this. It's a very, you know, specific time of year that you really want to optimize everything. What is that, and how did that work out for you?
The specific time of year for this channel is, well, when the wind dies down. If it's windy at all, it winds up going against the Gulf Stream, and it kind of like stacks the waves up, so it'd almost be impossible. So after we did some research and I looked at previous attempts, anytime after June 20th is usually when the wind dies down, and then you only have a few days window within that. So I hired the boat for 10 days, and basically we said whatever day the weather looks best is the day where we're going to leave. I wanted to leave the first day just because, you know, I didn't want to be sitting over there all anxious. And it just worked out that the best day was the first day that we were there, or that I was able to leave. So it was kind of perfect.
You're already a competitive paddleboarder, but, you know, I'm just wondering, like, the training that you have to do for a journey like this. How many days a week? What sort of workouts were you doing? What were you doing to physically and mentally prepare?
Yeah, the training was definitely different for this. I do race competitively. They're usually short races, mostly like 8 miles. I've done a couple of longer crossings that were like 33 miles, but this was about 3 or 4 times more than the longest I'd ever done. So I did a lot of research on ultra endurance training and such with bikers and runners, because there isn't much for paddlers. And I basically took a lot of their different trainings, which when it comes to ultra distance, it's all over the place. And I tried to like piece something together that would make sense for me, and I know the way my body recovers and feels after workouts. So that's kind of how I planned it, with the longest paddle being 12 hours. I did mostly hour training instead of distance. And then nutritionally, it was the same thing. I did a lot of ultra endurance nutrition stuff. I'm a certified sports nutritionist, so I have a background in that. And I was able to piece together, and I practiced a lot of my eating. And I knew if I could keep myself fed and I didn't have any GI distress, there was a good chance I'd be able to make it and just not get mentally fatigued. And yeah, so that's what I worked on a lot of. I added yoga in there also for meditation purposes and flexibility, and I think that really helped a lot.
At any point during the training, did you ever think, maybe this is too much for me? I don't know if I could do it.
Well, yeah. I mean, when we were on our way over, we took the boat over. It was a sailboat, so it went slow. And it took 22 hours to get there. And actually, that was the first thought I had, because the night we went over, we had a storm, and we were sleeping down below, and you know, it's a lot more bumpy down below. So I was laying there thinking to myself, what did I just get myself into? Because we knew there might be similar winds the following few days. So that was my first what did I do time. And then about 2 hours after dark is when I questioned myself the most. I realized how far or how long I had been paddling, and I realized how much longer I had to go and how much longer it was going to be dark. And I was like, what? Why am I doing this again?
Take us to that first day. You're in Cuba. You launched early in the morning. What was it like? What were you thinking at that moment, the moment you push off and you started this?
Most of my nervousness came before we actually even left for Cuba, so I got a lot of the jitters out of the way. When we went to go say goodbye to the Commodore, there was a lot of media there, and I think it was kind of a little bit like a blur. I mean, I was excited, but, you know, a little bit nervous, and I didn't really know, you know, what exactly was when I could leave or if I should just step off now. So they said the time, and I was like, all right, well, we're going to go. So I just kind of pushed off and went, and I felt really relaxed, and we had about a mile before we entered the ocean from the marina. So I used that time. It was like the only time I was by myself to just kind of like warm up and relax and try to get my head in gear.
What were the conditions like? Wasn't it like almost right after you left that you were already starting to face, you know, some difficult, choppy waters?
Yeah. We had originally had a forecast that was supposed to be 5 to 10 knots from the southeast, which would have been a little bit of a downwind kind of, you know, with the wind at my back and side. But it wound up being a straight east wind, which was on my right side. And it was probably about, I would say, 8 knots to 10 knots in the morning. And as you know, like, usually as the day goes on, it gets windier. So I remember I saw white caps already right when we started, and all this side chop and a lot of wind. And I remember looking at my boyfriend who was on the boat. He got me into paddling, and he kind of knew what I was thinking, like, oh boy, this is going to be a long paddle. And it was. The wind never let up. It was always to the right side. I had swell come in from my right side, I had wind coming from my right side, and the current was coming from my left side. So I was pretty much paddling on my left side for 90% of the time. We only had one storm that came through, and that was at night. It lasted for about 2 hours, and it just kicked up the wind, but there was no lightning or any rain, so that was kind of a good thing. It was just really hard to see. The moon went away, and it was really, really choppy. It was probably about 4 feet.
You're listening to a previous conversation that we had with Victoria Burgess, a fire inspector with the Pompano Beach Fire Department. Recently, she paddleboarded from Havana to Key West, the first woman to do it. That's about 115 miles, and she did it in just under 28 hours. Now, she sent that in to the Guinness Book of World Records, and she's waiting to hear back from them. But regardless, the city of Pompano Beach has recognized one day of the year as Victoria Burgess Day. Let's return to that conversation. I'd imagine throughout this journey, there's got to be some interesting stuff to see, but you were really focused, you know? So, I mean, there probably were all sorts of things swimming around you, but you had to be really focused on what you were doing because, again, of the conditions. But, I mean, really? You didn't stop to look around?
No, I tried, but even, you know, on my way before we could still see land, and I wanted to try to just turn my head to see the land, but it was so choppy and windy, I didn't want to, you know, ruin any energy trying to, you know, get back on my board or whatever. So I just said, hey, can you see land anymore? And it wound up being a game like that. They kind of told me, and it was funny because I actually reviewed the footage that the videographer took, and my eyes are just, and you can see it at night especially, my eyes are like wide open. I think one time with the night vision, I maybe blinked twice in this one part. It was just, it's just crazy how focused I was. I was constantly looking at the nose of my board and making sure I had it in the right spot in the water so I can keep my board straight and not get pushed around. If you get taken away by the wind or the current or the waves, you know, it's sometimes it just takes a lot more energy to get back on track. So my focus was basically just keeping myself on track to make it as easy as possible for my body, not have to fight anything.
So this has been filmed. Is any of that ever going to be, you know, released to the public? Will we ever get to see your journey?
Yeah, we're making a full-length documentary. I'm not sure how long it's going to take. I would assume a few months. I don't really have too much video production skills, so someone else is handling that.
So throughout the process, you're nonstop trying to get to Key West. How do you get rest? How do you eat? And of course, the question a lot of people probably asked you. I mean, you have to do your humanly duties. How do you stop and go to the bathroom?
So I had a very specific plan for eating nutritionally. I made sure no matter if I was hungry or not that I ate every hour, either a sandwich or pasta, or I had a little menu for myself, a couple different kinds of sandwiches, pasta Alfredo. And then every half hour or so, and more as we went on, I had snacks. I had like cookies and bananas, quick sugar type of things that kept me pepped up. So I was pretty much constantly eating. Every hour I went over to the boat, they handed me my food, and if it wasn't too rough, I sat down for like a minute or so. My board was kind of bashing into the side of the boat whenever I tried to do that because of the waves, so I had to limit it to only a couple minutes. And I would just use that time to like chew my food and stretch my legs. I think it really helped in the long run. And then as far as it goes with using the bathroom, luckily I was expending a lot of energy, so that didn't happen too often. But yeah, I had to go in the water once. And then like the rest of the stuff, I either just like, I don't know, I was just standing up peeing basically when I was paddling. Kind of gross.
Did you ever get tired? Did you ever feel like you're not going to make it?
I never got tired. I never got tired. Yeah, it was really weird. My body was, I feel like my nutrition was so on point. There was one point where my mind started just wanting to stop, and I had a little more sugar. I drank some Coke, ate some more cookies, and it kind of pepped me up. But it was really cool to see how the food I was eating was affecting my mood. And I did a lot of practice with learning how to relax my muscles while I was paddling, and how to switch on different muscle groups when certain ones got tired. And I don't know if that makes sense, but it really worked out well. I was able to paddle and still relax at the same time. The only time I really, really got tired was probably the last mile or two. I tried to sprint. That didn't work out too well. And then the heat started getting to me, and I stopped eating because I was excited to get there, and I just started bonking, but I made it.
What was it like in the final stretch, all the way up to the very end when you get there? Take me to that moment.
I want to say maybe a quarter mile before the boat had an anchor and my three crew members got off. We had extra boards for them, and they got on the boards with me so they can paddle in with me. So that was just a really cool thing, just in general, being out there in the last part with those guys and having them come in with me. And then we had a lot of friends and family that were on the beach. My parents were there, and then a bunch of our friends came down from Fort Lauderdale, and we have a bunch of Key West friends that were there, and they were blowing conch shells and ringing bells and horns. And so it was really cool. And you know, I got off my board and I still could stand. I was using my paddle to kind of help me a little bit, but my adrenaline kicked in again. And yeah, you know, I kind of was a little hazy at that moment. I didn't have any emotional breakdown or anything like that. I was just happy to be there, and it was kind of like a bit of a blur.
So, I mean, after such an amazing accomplishment, how do you top that? What's your next journey that you're planning?
Well, I have a couple of things in mind. One of them is a 2-year goal, so it's going to take a while. And it's something that it doesn't have anything to do with the water. Well, first I plan on surfing bigger waves. That's just a short-term goal. But as far as any crossings go, I don't know of one yet that I want to do. Maybe if something comes up that interests me, I will. But the goal for right now is on the side, I do a lot of rock climbing. And a friend of mine who had been trying to summit Everest for a while is going again in 2021. I've been climbing with him a lot on my just side time. And I was talking to him before I left, telling him I might be interested one day. And he asked me yesterday, actually, if I wanted to train for that for 2021 with him. So I kind of think that's going to be my next focus.
And again, that was Victoria Burgess, fire inspector for the Pompano Beach Fire Department. I don't know about you, but listening to that, I'm inspired. Not to do that, but just inspired. And I wish her the best of luck if she's going to be climbing Everest. Again, she paddleboarded from Havana, Cuba to Key West, Florida in under 28 hours. You can read more about her story and see photos at WLRN.org.